And Karen Hart, I asked if she had some artistic expression of Pentecost that she could share with us, and she chose to share some photographs. So as part of our centering for worship, I'm going to share my screen and just a few photographs that that Karen Hart has shared with us for today that I wanted to share with you. And I love her interpretation of Pentecost. The poppies, another view. You see her artistic eye and this glass sculpture she created that she felt sort of represented Pentecost. So that was her sharing with our congregation today. For those of you who, like me, appreciate sort of the visual arts of worship that have been a little more difficult to capture during COVID. And now I invite you to join in our opening hymn, Praise the Spirit in Creation. And I will share our order of worship as we begin. And I will make this a little larger, I think. There, hopefully that works. And we'll begin our call to worship. If you'll join in the bold portions. God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
The young shall see visions.
The elders shall dream dreams.
Both men and women shall prophesy.
And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Thank you. And Claire, I'm going to turn to Claire and invite her to lead us in our opening prayer. Claire, if you'd like to unmute.
I'm unmuted and my dog is joining us in the breath prayer.
Excellent.
for the background noise. As we enter into our Pentecost worship, I invite you to recall the Hebrew word ruach, which means breath or wind or spirit. It seems fitting on this day to attend to our breath as our opening prayer. So for the next couple of minutes, I invite you to slow your breathing. Become aware of your inhalation and exhalation. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. God, creator of heaven and earth, when the earth was a formless void and darkness covered over the face of the deep, your wind swept over the face of the waters and you said, "Let there be light." Breathe in. Breathe out. You formed humankind from the dust of the ground and breathed into us the breath of life. Breathe in. Breathe out. Like Ezekiel, when we find ourselves in the valley of dry bones, it is your breath that restores us to life. Breathe in. Breathe out. Today, we celebrate your Holy Spirit, which blew through that Pentecost gathering so long ago and is still at work in our world today. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe on us, O God. Pour out your spirit that we may live as your people. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Claire. Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Alleluia, the Spirit of the Lord renews the face of the earth.
Come, let us adore him. Alleluia.
Our psalm is Psalm 104. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all, the earth full of your creatures. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all, the earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the great and wide sea, with its living things too many to number, creatures both small and great. There move the ships, and there is that Leviathan, which you have made for the sport of it. All of them look to you to give them their food in due season. You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things. You hide your face, and they are terrified. You take away their breath, and they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in all his works. He looks at the earth, and it trembles. He touches the mountains, and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Mede, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in their own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show portents in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.' Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people."
Thanks be to God.
I'm going to switch over to our gradual hymn. Sorry, give me just a moment. I thought that sounded really familiar. I should have trusted my instincts. Oh, hold on. Let's try this again. All right. Thank you. It's one of my favorite hymns, so I'm glad we got that right eventually. Here. I invite you to hear our reading today from the Gospel of John. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are able to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
So I've invited a couple of our neighborhood team members to help me out with our message today. So I'm going to invite Diane and Julie to make sure they're unmuted. And if anyone else thinks of something that they would like to jump in there with as we go, that will be fine too. Rushing wind, dancing flames, bewilderment, amazement, astonishment. The Holy Spirit is loose in the world. As I mentioned earlier, Pentecost is my favorite day of the church year. It's the day when we give the Spirit her due, when we open ourselves to the possibility that the Spirit still dances among us, when we breathe a sigh of relief that the success or failure of the church, whatever that means, does not rest entirely on our shoulders. So here we are, 50 days after Easter. The story we read in Acts took place during the Jewish Festival of Weeks, which was celebrated 50 days after the Passover. So this explains the crowds of people from every nation under heaven, as our scripture says, that were present in Jerusalem. And you probably know that the name Pentecost comes from the Greek word for 50. The festival was originally connected to the spring harvest, and the Jewish Festival of Weeks, or Pentecost, it's also a Jewish festival, has a strong connection to the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. So that's sort of our backstory for today's scripture. So Peter and the other disciples, Acts says that they were all together in one place. I've always loved that phrase, but it seems especially poignant this year as we wait just a little bit longer to be all together in one place. But Peter and the disciples, and I think if we back up to chapter one, it says there were about 120 people, so it's not a small gathering. They're all together in one place, and the Spirit shows up just as Jesus promised. Miraculously, people are able to speak languages they have not learned, and others are able to hear in their native language. Luke provides an extensive list of people and places, and Karen did an amazing job of making her way through those names. The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, and so forth. They all hear of God's deeds of power in their own languages. And as I pause this week to think about the work of the neighborhood team in relation to this scripture, I was thinking about the Spirit's ability to transcend barriers to connection or unity. Now, in our reading from Acts, those barriers were the different languages spoken by the crowd. In our neighborhood context, I'm not talking so much about languages such as English or Spanish, though perhaps it is a consideration. But even when we all speak the same language, we may speak a very different language with regards to our lives. I'm talking about understanding another person's lens on the world. Where do they find strength and hope and meaning? I'm wondering about the particular heartaches or concerns that keep our neighbors up at night. To use the language of the prophet Joel that we heard today, what dreams do our neighbors dream? What visions do they see? At the heart of the work of the neighborhood team is the desire to understand how the Spirit has been poured out on our neighbors. So hear that last bit really clearly. I have certainly been guilty of this. It's tempting to view ourselves, our good church people like us, as the ones who share the Spirit with our neighbors. And prior to COVID, at least, it was easy to fall into the trap of feeling like the Spirit was somehow confined to the four walls of our sanctuary. Now, rationally, we know this is not true, but we often live as if it is. But Pentecost reminds us that the Spirit is loose in the world, and we are invited to show up with openness and share in the joy of what the Spirit is doing in the lives of our neighbors. And that's what I would like to invite Diane and Julie to help me with. And I'm going to start with Diane. Diane, you'll need to unmute. Diane was present at our garden seed giveaway and had a couple of encounters. And Diane, you mentioned that initially you felt like people showed up with a certain wariness or suspicion. You want to say more about that?
Well, I wouldn't say that everyone did, but there were a couple of encounters that were definitely, I would say, suspicious. One woman who approached the table and kind of looked at the seats, and then she pulled back and said directly to me, "Why are you doing this?" And I was a little bit taken aback, but I don't remember exactly what I said, but something in terms of, well, it's a way we can meet our neighbors and be part of our neighborhood. We just thought it was a nice thing to do. And then somehow the conversation moved to our community gardens, and that really opened her up to say that she has some plant starts that she might like to share with the garden. And then she moved right into exploring the seeds more closely and making her selections. And then there was another woman who, with very good humor, approached the same table saying, "I'm Lutheran, so I'm not going to join your church. So if you want to tell me to leave right now, that's just fine." But it was a cause to engage her in conversation and tell her she was more than welcome. And that conversation branched out in many ways to the point where Sean and this woman made the connection. And we also pointed out Claire, who was also connected in all being preacher's kids. So that was a good conversation starter also, and included her in ways that might not happen because we were open to listening to the people who came forward. And some of them thought we were there to proselytize. Yeah.
I didn't prep you for this question, but how do you think the Spirit showed up in those encounters?
In moving us to be open, I'm thinking also of another woman who, in the course of conversation about being welcome, because we did at times bring up that, you know, they would always be welcome at St. Paul's once we were back in open again. And she said, "Well, I'm Jewish." And, but it opened her to express her longing for a connection with Jewish community, and the closest being in Portland. And there was some racking of our brains to come up with some other connections. We were not successful, but in connecting her, but we still connected as neighbors. And I think the Spirit moving us to explore that, because it would have been so simple to say, "Well, I don't know anything about Jewish community," and let it go at that.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing those stories. I'm going to turn now to Julie, and you had a fun encounter recently with a neighbor. Would you like to just describe that?
Sure. On last Tuesday, Jerry and I were up at the garden, community garden, working as usual, and we invite any of you who would like to join us to do that. A woman came walking up the steps with a big smile on her face, but looking kind of anxious, and said, "Is there still a community garden left open? Is there a raised bed left for me?" And we said, "Sure," and showed her the raised bed that we have two put aside for community people who would like to garden with us, and told her she could plant anything she wanted, that water was provided, there was no cost. She lives in the neighborhood. And she went away really happy. She was going to come back and plant. Well, I had forgotten that day to water the lavender I'd planted along the steps. So I went back in the evening to water the lavender. And there was the woman with her daughter planting the bed already. We had a really nice interaction, and it was fun to talk to her. But that whole interaction, the whole fact that I decided to go back to church at that time and take care of that, and then she was there, that's the kind of experience I look for. I try to be open to what the Spirit can offer, is offering me. I don't know if that's the way to put it, but many times in my life, when I've responded to a request or followed an impulse, it's brought me into contact with neighbors and let me be helpful to them. And I want to do that. I really value that. And so I try to be open.
Yeah, I call that a little nudge of the Spirit, right?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Thank you, Julie. If any other of our neighborhood team, if this jogged your memory and you're thinking, oh, I really wish I'd offered to share this story, now is your moment. It's Pentecost. We'll roll with the Spirit. So if the Spirit has moved you to share anything, please know that that is welcome. All right. I really appreciate these stories. Oh, I know what I wanted to say, especially around Julie's. Julie, why don't you describe how sophisticated our advertising campaign was that there were garden beds available?
Oh,
yeah. And it wasn't sophisticated at all, is the point. Yeah.
No, it wasn't. We repurposed some signs from, I think it was our Valentine's effort, and wrote on the front of them that there are a raised bed available for community use, called St. Paul's, and we put the number up and put those signs. They were like political signs, only hand labeled. Put one at the by the little library at the entrance to the church, and one down below, and our neighbors saw that. So it didn't take a lot.
Yeah, a recycled yard sign and a Sharpie marker, right? So it doesn't have to be a really intensive endeavor. There's lots of little, I sometimes love the little small things like that as much as the big efforts. So I think, good news today, right? And, you know, we talked some about this in our forum this morning, but I want to be careful here, but I want to say, you know, I think we carry as a church, not just this congregation, but churches in general, we carry so much weight on our shoulders. Like, it's our job to save the church, right? I think we all feel that pressure, like, oh, you know, what has happened? We see declining numbers and aging congregations. And I think too often, it's easy to feel a sense of failure. And I would invite you to lay that down today and to remember that Peter and the disciples didn't wake up the morning of Pentecost with a carefully crafted strategic plan for launching the church, right? But they were open and expecting the Spirit. They were open to the Spirit, and barriers were crossed, and the story of Christ's love was shared. So that's what I think we are called to be and do. We are called to this openness to the movement of the Spirit and to a genuine concern about our neighbors. And Pentecost reminds us of the power of the Spirit and the presence of the Spirit. Joel says that God will pour out God's Spirit on all people. So we're not called to take the Spirit to our neighbors. We're called to celebrate the presence of the Spirit in their lives. The Spirit is already loose in the world. And the question is whether we will live as if that is true. So when we do gather together in one place again, tentatively on June 13th, remember that the Spirit and the movement of the Spirit is not bound by four walls. The Spirit is being poured out in our neighborhood. What if we understood neighborliness as a spiritual practice? How will you listen for the Spirit in the lives of our neighbors and celebrate with them? Rushing wind, dancing flames, bewilderment, amazement, astonishment. The Holy Spirit is loose in the world. Amen. Return to our screen share. And I'm a little uncertain. Are one of our liturgists today leading us in our statement of faith?
No, it's not marked.
Okay. Well, I will gladly do it because I picked this one because it's one of my favorites. And this comes from the United Church of Canada. And I really appreciate the language and the reassurance that it offers us. So I invite you to join in your space at home. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, on this day, you open the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of you, Holy Spirit. Shed abroad this gift throughout the world by the preaching of the gospel, that it may reach to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Almighty God, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. benevolent creator in whose kingdom all things natural and living exist and find purpose. Keep us mindful of the many ways we are connected in this world, so that we may take opportunity to nurture and comfort in times of plenty and times of need. May it be so within the creative power and sustaining mercy of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name.
Amen.
And thank you to Sean Kimsey for writing that for us for today.
Prayers of the people. Great God, you wrap us round with love like a mighty, gentle mother, and you carry us like a strong and tender father, setting us on our feet to be your free, mature, and joyful daughters and sons. Now in our weakness, we pray to you because we cannot come through life's troubles unscathed. And with souls and bodies stressed and strained, we cannot meet each other's needs without your Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, come with healing power. Spirit, gift of Christ, fill us with God's love.
Great God, we come to you with the resurrected Christ, who bore the weight of human flesh and blood to Calvary for your love's sake. And even now, as conqueror of death, he pleads with you for all your suffering children.
Holy Spirit, come with healing power. Spirit, gift of Christ, fill us with God's love.
We join our prayers to the prayers of Christ for those we know who are ill or troubled, and for all your suffering children who are beyond our reach of mind.
Holy Spirit, come with healing power. Spirit, gift of Christ, fill us with God's love.
Heal us and help us, comfort and strengthen us, deepen our joy. Let our love reflect your might, tenderness, and serve you healing gentleness.
Holy Spirit, come with healing power. Spirit, gift of Christ, fill us with God's love.
Eternal God, there is great longing in the world. People are desperate because of the suffering they endure. Earth cries out for peace. Oppressed people cry for justice. Women, men, and children weep in sorrow and pain.
Holy Spirit, come with healing power. Spirit, gift of Christ, fill us with God's love.
Call us then to prophesy. By the lives we live, by our patience, by our compassion, by our belief in the future you will make for us, let your church proclaim the great things you are doing, with hope for the nations of the world, for every person born, and every living creature.
Holy Spirit, come with healing power. Spirit, gift of Christ, fill us with God's love.
Fill us with your Spirit,
that our faith might be enriched.
Fill us with your Spirit,
that our lives might be empowered.
Fill us with your Spirit,
that our witness might be emboldened.
Fill us with your Spirit,
that your name might be glorified.
God, we go into this day knowing it is you who makes us stand firm in Christ. We are filled with your Spirit. We are anointed to serve. We go out to bring resurrection life. Amen. I'm going to share our closing hymn. Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Serve your God with patience and passion. Be deliberate in enacting your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit's power. And may peace be your way in the world.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Amen. Thank you, everybody, for worshiping together today. Marilyn did ask me to make sure that you had the date of June 13th. Firmly planted in your mind as the anticipated return to in-person worship. So I'm sure, you know, that's all subject to things continuing to go well with our numbers in the county, but that's the target at this point. Do others have any particular announcements that need to be shared before we enter into more personal sharing? All right. Well, at this time, I invite you to share whatever you are celebrating within your life these days.
I'm celebrating the opportunity to go see my children in Montana. I haven't seen them for 18 months, and I'm so excited. So I'm off to Montana. I won't be here next week.
Right. Safe travels.
Thank you.
And 18 months is a long time.
It's a long time.
What else is going on with people?
I'm celebrating the recovery from my knee surgery. That's going well.
I don't know what you had done, Mike. Did you have
I had a torn meniscus, so a little arthroscopy about 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Well, I hope you continue to mend well so you can
thank you.
Be back on your bicycle and doing those things you love.
Thanks.
Roger and I are heading to Vancouver this afternoon to celebrate a family birthday.
Awesome. Do people have graduations in their families also? It's that season of the year.
That's actually where Marilyn is today, is at a graduation. One of her granddaughters is graduating from college.
That's exciting.
And next weekend, she won't be with us because another granddaughter is graduating from high school.
And I have a granddaughter that just graduated from high school up in Anchorage, Ellen.
Mm. Well, congratulations. That's very exciting. I have a senior this year in high school also. So we're trying to figure out what a graduation celebration looks like right now. So,
yeah.
What other prayer concerns or things you would like us to hold in prayer this week? John, you're muted still. There you go.
Thank you. I have a son-in-law who has been in the hospital for a month with COVID. And at one point he was very near death. Now they keep trying to bring him home and they have to take him back repeatedly. His heart is bothered by COVID and they can't keep it stable. Mm-hmm. His name is Doug and his wife is Elizabeth.
All right. Thank you, John, for sharing that. It's just such a story that's been repeated far too often. It's especially impactful when it's someone you know and love. Who else has something to share?
Well, I have one more thing. My third granddaughter was inducted into Honor Society this last week. So all three of them are athletes and scholars.
That's great.
Proud.
And rightfully so. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I would lift up, I'm pretty impressed with the local health department and the innovative ways that they are working to encourage vaccination. So, you know, I think prayers for their efforts. They have a hard job. I'm sure it's been a long year for everybody in the medical profession. So,
just curious, when the church opens on June 13th, whenever it opens, I'm just thinking of how hard it's going to be among people. And just thinking of maybe some re-entry maneuvers. I don't have a clue, but